First of all, I'd like to say thank you for moving front. It's quite impressive. So the ushers must did an excellent job, so thank you for that. Also, I want to thank you for your prayers. I always feel needy when I'm up front, because when we're sharing, we're actually speaking to ourselves, because God's word is for everyone. It doesn't matter where you might fit in as far as age or station or whatever. The word is, it's real. It's something we need. So let's all stand. I'm going to start with a prayer. Let's stand for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly pause before you again this morning's hour to thank you for the love you've shown to us in so many ways. We thank you for the freedom that we so often take for granted. We thank you for this time we have to share together here. We thank you for this brotherhood. We pray especially that you might bless me, Father, with your spirit. We ask that as your word is spoken, as it is shared, that your spirit would work in each of our lives and help us to see more clearly what you want us to do, so that we in turn can glorify your name. For Father, we just know that you love us and you have a purpose for your word, and we just pray that you might help us to apply it to our lives. We thank you again for answered prayer. We thank you for the many times that we take things for granted, like our health and our strength. Right now, Father, I pray for Les. We know that he's not here because of a bull situation. We just pray that you might heal him. And we pray that you might help us all, Father, to realize that our lives are in your hands. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I would like if you would all turn in your songbooks and sing this song. It's 395 in the Christian hymnal. And this song, it's a prayer song. And I think too many times we sing songs and we don't think about what we're saying, but I really would like if you would think on these words as you sing this song. So Art, thank you. Thank you. I hope you meant that prayer as you sang it. My mind went back to last Sunday, and can someone tell me when Ed put this thing across the board, what was on that road? What was the statement on that road? Thank you, Titus. I need that. Okay. Amen. Anyone else remember what the phrase was? Okay, right? You're close. I took a picture of it and I got it, so I wanted to make sure. This is what it says: a single, wholehearted focus and a living relationship with God. And I was like, wow. And he had these ramps that went off. And what one word was all these ramps represent? I'll tell you. They were all selfish. Every one. Some of those ramps that went off were very obvious, but there were some that were subtle. Like, for instance, you know, a family vacation. Sounds great. But if that family vacation was to supplement the time you should have spent with your family when you're at home, it was selfish. And I know some people who go to church and do things to look good. In other words, they drive a certain car, they wear a certain dress, they, you know, whatever, to look good. But basically, it's because they want praise of men. And it's selfish. It's not good. So, living that life, God wants a living, like Daryl mentioned, something that's living is real. Most of you don't know this, but almost every Sunday, my wife goes around and waters these plants. And the reason she does that is she wants them to stay alive, and they need water. And so a living plant has more value to me than a plastic plant. It just doesn't quite, you know, it's false, it's fake. It's not very impressive. And they usually, fake plants don't smell. They don't have an aroma. So anyway, we want to be living. Anyway, before I start this message, I have a question and a story that I would like to share. And I wrote this on the board here. The question is Jesus truly Lord of your life? We've had this before, but if Jesus is Lord, he is your leader, he's your organizer, he's your redeemer, and he's your deliverer. That is a question we need to ask all the time, every day. Is he Lord of your life? Or you want to be in charge? So as we go through this message, I would like you to think about that. I could say that a leader is someone that you follow. An organizer is someone who is like a coordinator. They just organize your life, and you have to submit to that. You have to accept that. And he's your redeemer. He paid our debt. He restored our relationship with Christ by Jesus dying on the cross. And he delivers us. In other words, he helps us stay free from sin. And that's a daily basis. When we have a struggle, we can say, Lord, help me. And he will deliver us. He will give us the way through. Now, this story that I would like to, I think a lot of you know this story. At least I think you do. It goes like this. There's an old Cherokee told his grandson, my son, there's a battle between two wolves in your life, a black one and a white one. One's evil. It's anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, inferiority, lies, and ego. On the other end is good. It's joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, and truth. And the boy thought a little bit. And he said, Grandpa, which wolf wins? And Grandpa said, the one you feed is going to win. And my mind went to Philippians. We read it often. It says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's why we're here. We want to feed the good wolf, because we want the good wolf to win or to live. So with that in mind, I'd like to move into the message, and that is, people who know me know that I'm not a techie person. I'm not techie. Daryl supersedes me by far. You all know that. And I think Lyndon and Gerald also out-tech me. And which I don't mind. I tell people I have a smartphone with a dumb operator. That's me. And but I realize I do use a computer. And most of you probably do, and most of you probably have the same situation that I have, and that is when you sit down in front of the computer, you need something to go forward. What is it? Right. You need a password. You need a password to get into the computer. And sometimes, like my phone locks up and I have a password that I have to get in to be able to get in. So there's a password that we all need. There's a lot of people who are trying to find love, joy, peace, happiness. You know, they want to enjoy life. They want to find that. There's people who want to find fulfillment. They want to find success. There's people who want to find victory. Victory in their Christian life. They want to find this. And even Jesus had to follow this password. Let me tell you what this password is. The message this morning, I'd like to say, the password is surrender. The password is surrender. If we want to go forward in life, if you want to be able to enter into a life of fulfillment, and happiness, and peace, and joy, it's going to take surrender. I would like to sing another song. And it's 399 in the Christian hymnal. And I want you to think, what I'd like to do is, in this song, if we would sing the chorus after the first and last verse. And I want you to think of the words as we sing. All right? All right? You don't know it?
I surrender.
that song carries, I think it covers pretty much everything. As far as surrendering, I don't know if it's missed anything. I mentioned before that Jesus had this password of surrender, and he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." So he was surrendered to God's will, regardless of what happens. I think, you know, too many times we forget that, you know, Jesus Christ should be Lord of our life and not just an assistant. I saw these signs, bumper stickers already, on a car. It said, "Jesus is my co-pilot, but God is our pilot. Jesus is our pilot. You know, we're here beside him. We want to let God direct the travel or the way we're going, because if we do it, it's going to get ourselves into trouble." I was came across this saying, or this quote. It's not a quote, actually, it's a reading. It says, "Surrender is the ultimate sign of strength and the foundation for a spiritual life. Surrendering affirms that we are no longer willing to live in pain. It expresses a deep desire to transcend our struggles and transform our negative emotions. Surrender is a gift that you can give yourself. It's an act of faith. It's saying that even though I can't see where this river is flowing, I trust it will take me in the right direction." That's surrender. We need to surrender to God and let him take control of our life. I would like if everyone would turn to Colossians 3. We'd like to read Colossians 3 and let the Spirit speak to you. We're going to begin reading Colossians 3, verse 1. And I'm going to read actually to chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians 3, 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man." Now, I want you to think this as we read this. Ask this question to yourself: Have I put on what we're going to read next? Verse 10. "And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the rewards of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withdraw with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. There is a story that someone sent me just this morning, and I thought it actually went well with the message here. If you look at the beginning of this chapter 3, if any be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And this is, my friend sent me this, the lesson. It says, in the lesson to the eagle and the crow. It says, the only bird that dares to peck an eagle is the crow. The crow sits on the eagle's back and bites his neck. The eagle does not respond nor fight with the crow. He doesn't spend time or energy on the crow. Instead, he just opens his wings, begins to rise higher in the heavens, and the higher the flight, the harder it is for the crow to breathe. And eventually, the crow falls off due to lack of oxygen. Learn from the eagle and don't fight the crows. Just keep ascending. They might be along for the ride, but they'll soon fall off. Do not allow yourself to succumb to the distractions. Keep your focus on the things above and continue rising. When we are surrendered, have given up ourselves, and our desire is to have a close walk with God, the higher we get, the world becomes smaller. The temptations become less. And it, to me, it's like, wow. And in my I have a Thompson Chain Bible, and in there, I have written down, remember the rat. And if my memory is right, a person gave a story about a fellow who was in a plane, and they realized there was a rat in the plane, and they, you know, they can be very dangerous, because they can start chewing wires, they can do damage, and so what they did is they took the plane up. They took it way up, and they put oxygen masks on, and they killed the rat by cutting its oxygen. And what I'm driving at, if you look at this portion, you know, we're risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And the way we do that is by dying to self and being surrendered to God. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, where are my affections? Are they heavenly or are they earthly? Because heaven and earth are contrary one to the other. And the other question is our life in Christ? Are you experiencing this living relationship with God? And I'm going to jump over here to where at the end a little bit, and that is, if you notice in chapter 4, there's two vital things that keep our relationship alive with God. And in verse 3 it says, with all praying also, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I think there are two characteristics of God's children that are a must. We must have a prayer life that's real with God, and we must be having an attitude of gratitude so we can find the altitude that we can get the world off our back. So we must mortify, and the mortify means to kill. And there's two levels in this portion we were reading. And I think one is, if verse 5 says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. And it gives all these, basically it's lust of the flesh and also love of the world. Those are the two things that we have to put to death if we want to ascend into heaven with God. And if you don't kill these two items, they're going to kill us. It's just the way it works. And I can't stress enough, if you think you can play with fire, you're going to get burnt. It doesn't work. So surrender and obedience. When you surrender, you automatically become obedient because you have given yourself over to God's will, and God's will is to do these things. This past week, I had the opportunity to talk with my neighbor, and I know there's some situations in family lives that are not what they should be. My neighbor, number one, he lost his wife probably 5 or 6 years ago, and I made the comment to him that I can tell that he their relationship was good and great, and he said, amen, absolutely. He misses his wife every day. But he said, you know, they have learned that walking in truth has brought the relationship together, because when you follow God's plan, you will find fulfillment, you'll find blessing, you'll find rest. And it's not just, it covers a lot of areas. From the standpoint of I think it's physical, I think it's financial, it covers a lot. And so when two people come together and they are seeking to do God's will, it's amazing the synergy that happens from that relationship because of doing God's will or being in part of God's connection. And if you notice in 15 and 17, two times it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. It's not a suggestion, that's a command. And I think God knew how we're made, and the reason he wants us to be thankful is it helps us to acknowledge someone greater than ourselves, and it helps us be humble. I like going through the book of Proverbs, and there's several characteristics that stand out to me. One is, I mentioned a month ago, whatever, that God hates liars, and God hates pride. And so being honest and humble are the two key factors that God can come into your life and you can be a part of him. But it takes surrender to make that happen. Like I've said quite a bit already, and that's be honest, be humble, be holy. It keeps us, when we are that, it helps keep us pleasant and sweet. In 18 to 21, basically it's talking here about relationships to family and how that is. My mind went to, says in 21, it says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And I think one of the ways that can happen is when fathers are not consistent. They say one thing and do another. Or they look good to people, but at home they're not. I mean, and that can be very strenuous, frustrating, discouraging to children. And so I'm coming back to, we have to surrender our will to God's will so that we can be a consistent living testimony of God's kingdom. And when we do that, God will be glorified and we will be blessed. The thing that also stands out to me in verse 25 says, God is no respecter of persons. It seems like right now, there's a saying, it said, it isn't always what you know, but who you know. Well, with God, the fact is you have to be what God wants you to be if you're going to come out right. And if you're not what God wants you to be, He doesn't care if you're the president of the United States or if you're a janitor of a church. You're going to be treated the same. And I think that perspective should help each one of us realize how serious it is for us to make sure that we are living and doing God's will and being surrendered to God's will. The other thing I thought about here is, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. In the colonial days, or in days gone by, there's a saying that was, he's worth his salt. And I did not realize what that really meant until salt is held very highly. It's valuable. You cannot live without salt. In our previous church, I think I shared this before, but there was a doctor who told this older couple, get rid of salt. Don't take any salt in your diet. He did not realize that this wife was very tedious. She was meticulously, no salt. And she died because a lack of salt in her life. And it was very hard on her husband, but he did not realize. In other words, most men do a little bit. They don't follow the rules, per se, on the salt. And I'm sure if someone gave him a bag of chips, they took it. But she was very meticulously no salt. And I'm not sure how many months went by, but she got sick, and they diagnosed that she was salt deficient, and she died. And that was, to me, we need salt. Our bodies need salt. And the thing is that salt can be, we know salt is a preserver, it's also seasoning, and it makes our body work correctly. So salt is very important. But it says here, your speech, make sure it's seasoned with salt. The other thing, I'm just going to jump back here a little bit to the things that we destroy or we mortify, we kill. If you look at 8 and 9, those two verses, I'll read them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds. A lot of that has to do with our speech. It's very critical. It's very critical what we say. And we've said before that someday we are going to be judged by every idle word that we have shared. And that's very sobering, because sometimes we can kind of get silly or joking or whatever, and we have to be careful that we do not hurt people in that time. I think we like to have our words seasoned with salt so that we make people thirsty for truth. I know someone told me already, you can't lead a horse to water, but you can salt the oats. You can salt the oats. And the purpose of that is so that they can drink. They will be desired to drink. You all know I'm a farmer. And I'm a chicken farmer, and there was one time that our chicken production just went, phew, and it went down, and I right away took a feed sample, and what was wrong? It was lacking salt. And the birds did not eat the feed that they should so they could perform, and so we lost production. I mean, the sad thing was the feed company did not acknowledge it until I told them that I got a sample. And then he told me that they had some old salt around that lost its saltiness. They put the same pounds in, but the salt was not salty. And so they acknowledged it then. But, you know, I'm just telling you that story so that you understand the importance of salt is very critical. We need to have salt. So we want to make people thirsty for truth. So coming back to my first question, is Jesus Lord of your life? Is he your leader? Is he your organizer? Is he the one that you let control of your life? Are you surrendered to that? Have you accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Is he your Redeemer? And are you experiencing a living relationship with Jesus Christ as your Deliverer on a daily basis? The cry that I'd like to leave with you, you know, are we experiencing the password? We have a lot of people who are professors of Jesus Christ and not possessors of Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to be able to be a salt or a light to the world is that you have to possess Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life. And it struck me when we were reading over this thing, over this reading, it made the comment here, I think it's 17, it says here, that's not 17. It says here that we need to put humbleness of mind. Kindness, humbleness of mind. And humility has to come from within. It's not something that we can just put on. It has to be from within. And the only way you're going to be able to experience humility, in my mind, is when you surrender and acknowledge that God is everything so that he can control your life and show you how to live. So the question, I guess, is, am I experiencing the password? Am I coming out right with God? There was a story that that I read, and it goes back to a man where the question is, you know, am I being what I should be? There was a man that went around, and he was always trying to, if he goes through a door and it squeaked, he had an oil can with him, and he would lube these hinges. Or if the latch was stiff, he would lube the latches. And it says, the people called him eccentric and strange and crazy. But he went steadily on, often refilling his can of oil when it was nearly empty, and all the oil and oiling all the difficult places he found. In this world, there are many lives that are painful. They creak in their grates as they go about their daily work. Often it seems that nothing goes right with them, and they need lubricating with the joy of the Lord, gentleness and thoughtfulness. And do you carry your own can of oil with you? I remember that oil. Actually, I was at a bridal shower one time. I think it was a bridal shower. Yeah. And anyway, someone gave a can of oil, and they said, you know, love is oil. Use it liberally. And I think that is something that each one of us need to have. Otherwise, everything's going to start getting tight, and it starts making noise. It's going to get creaky. So are you ready? Are you ready with your oil for helpfulness each morning? If you offer your oil to the person nearest you, it may be just the lubricant that they need for the entire day for him. Your oil of cheerfulness will mean more than you know to someone who is just downhearted. Or their oil may be a word of encouragement to a person who is full of despair. Never fail to speak it, for our lives may touch others only once on the road of life, and then our path may diverge, never to meet again. The oil of kindness has worn the sharp and hard edges off many of sin-hardened lives and left it soft and pliable, ready to receive the redeeming grace of the Savior. A pleasant word is a bright ray of sunshine or a saddened heart. Therefore, give others the sunshine and tell Jesus the rest. We cannot know the grief that men may borrow. We cannot see the souls storm-swept by sorrow. But love can shine upon the way today and tomorrow. Let us be kind. Upon the wheels of pain, so many weary lives are broken. Let us be kind. I have seen marriages, and my wife and I have came to this conclusion. the word be kind is sometimes deleted after they get married. And it destroys a marriage. It will destroy a marriage. And I think most, well, not all of you, some of you got married, but anyway, when we go through a wedding, there's two things I tell the couple, and that is keep God first and keep dating. And the reason for that is when you keep dating, you're there to please the other. You want to continue that relationship because it's a part of being kind. It's a part of just helping each other become closer knit together to reflect the kingdom of God. So this morning, my prayer is that you would live the password. Be surrendered. There is one more song, and that's another reason why I chose this portion. It comes through that we are to, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I feel that songs carry a message. And that number is 400 in the Christian hymnal. May God bless you as you use the password and live the password of being surrendered. God bless you. You can? Yeah. 400, yeah.
I will be true to thee. Mm-hmm.